So let's take our Bibles tonight, turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2 this evening. 2 Timothy chapter 2 tonight. Also would like to say thank you for all your kindness as to my wife and I while we're here. The nice motel room, the goodie basket in the room, all kinds of things for us. We appreciate that very much. And Pastor's very kind to say, you know, we plowed right through the message last night. The reason I did was because you never missed a beat. In California, if that happened in a church in California, people would be crying out to God and getting right with the Lord and crawling under the pews and begging God for mercy and calling their mom and saying goodbye and everything else. Midwesterners, I mean, it's like, oh, yeah, there goes the lights. Okay, what do you got, you know? So that's why I asked them, is it normal? Because nobody, I mean, they don't even look up. You know, they said, we got a siren, we got to go get the children out of the nursery. Well, go get the kids, you know, all right, here we go. Man, these people are incredible. You got to be kidding me. I can't lose it. I'm over here going, what? No, look at you all just sitting there. Get the lanterns, Mabel. The sun went, lights went out again. Let's go. Nobody missed a beat, man. I couldn't panic because you didn't panic. Unbelievable. Midwesterners, bless your heart. You got the constitution of an iron horse, for goodness sakes. And that's not an insult. That's a compliment. Been driving home last night, and you have to understand, I told you, our place, Reading, it was 106 in Reading today. Hot, sunny, we don't get any rain. So I'm driving home last night, driving back to the motel last night, and the wind, it rained, you couldn't even see anything, it was raining so hard. And lightning dancing across the freeway and the cornfields out there, and I thought I saw somebody go by in a broom. I mean, it was just... It was something else. I mean, you know, and then I heard Hillary was in town. I figured, okay, it must be her. And so I was just praying to get back to the motel. I mean, my wife was saying, are you nervous? No, dear, I'm fine. Cars pulled underneath the overpasses off the side of the road. I lived up in Indiana, Northwest Indiana. I was going to Bible college and got stuck in a few storms out there. But last night was kind of special. And water flowing and going and everything else. And Pastor called and asked, wonder how we were doing. When we got back to the motel, we were fine. Power's on. Everything's good. I told them, come over and stay at the motel. You know, we had juice and everything over there. But thank you for your kindnesses to us. Thank you for all your kindnesses to my wife and I and your courtesies. It's a very special church. What I said last night, I didn't say it just to be nice. I meant to be honest. There's a good spirit in this church. What a great crowd tonight on a Friday night for Baptist Heritage Conference. This is incredible. This is amazing. Out here in the cornfields of Bourbonnais, Illinois. Amen? And I appreciate that. That encourages this preacher. It's very humbling. And I appreciate your kindnesses to us. I appreciate your young people in the schools and the work that they do, the work Brother Dan does with the young people and the staff and faculty there. We just had a great time with the kids during the week, and they responded well. And I picked on some of them real bad, but that's okay. You have to pick on teenagers. Teenager in the Greek is target. you got to pick on teenagers. And so we had a great time, enjoyed ourselves with them and the good spirit in the school. And having the opportunity to be there, and then, of course, to be in this church, I've looked forward to coming, and it's been a great time, and I do thank you very much. 2 Timothy 2 and verse number 1 tonight. We're going to read the text. I'm going to leave it alone for a moment and come back to it in just a minute. But thou, therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. 2 Timothy 2, verse 2. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. From that text tonight and a few other things, we're going to answer one last question. The first night, we answered some basic questions about understanding who we are as Baptist people. Why are there so many churches and all those things? We answered all those questions. Last night, we answered the question, why be a Baptist? Then why be a Baptist? We talked about the heritage and linkage and the concept, the following biblical principles, etc., and the principle of the local New Testament church, etc., and how Christ started the church, and that church has continued, and we laid the groundwork for that. Tonight, we answer one last question, and that question is this. Okay, if we answered the question last night, why be a Baptist? Tonight, there's one more question than it's necessary to answer, and that is this one. Then why be an independent fundamental Baptist? Why? There are all kinds of Baptist groups today. As I mentioned at the beginning of this conference, 1,200 Christian denominations in America today. 1,200 of them. I don't know how many dozens of Baptist groups there are. There are denominational Baptist groups tonight. There are associational Baptist groups tonight who consider themselves independent but in association with, which is like being a straight homosexual. There's no such animal. If you're in association with, you're not independent of. You're independent or you're in association, but you're not both. So there's denominational Baptist, there's associational Baptist. Then there's all the different fruits and flavors of Baptists that are out there and different stripes of Baptists. And I want us to understand tonight that being an independent fundamental Baptist isn't just a particular stripe or flavor of being a Baptist. It is, to me, my understanding, the way I was taught and I've come to understand this, being an independent fundamental Baptist is the next step in the direction of following a doctrinal Baptist in their belief and practice. Now, let me say it one more time. It's the next step in being a doctrinal, biblical Baptist in my conduct and practice. Independent, fundamental, Baptist. So tonight we're going to talk, answer that question. Why be an independent, fundamental Baptist? Let us pray, shall we? Our Father, tonight, what a blessing it is to be here at Faith Baptist Church. We want to say, first of all, Lord, thank you for protecting and keeping safe God's people, watching over them. Thank you tonight for the privilege to be in this good church with this pastor and these dear people. These other preachers that have come tonight, driven such a long way to this service. What a blessing that is, Lord. Now, would you provide something for us from God's word tonight? Help us to hear and to receive the truth of what we are and why we are what we are and why we ought to be that and stay that. And I thank you tonight, God, that we're not better than anybody else. We're not arrogant about things. There's nothing for us to be proud of at all. We are simply what we are because someone pointed us to God's word and we had a desire to follow what the word of God says. Help us to see it tonight and be what you want us to be. In Christ's name, amen. Why be an independent fundamental Baptist? That's what this church is. This church is an independent, fundamental, soul-winning, separated, King James, Bible-preaching, hellfire, and damnation Baptist church. Why be that, though? Let's define what is an independent, fundamental Baptist. Number one, what does it mean to be independent? Independent means we're separate of all denominational and associational ties. And we allow nobody, absolutely nobody, outside this church to interfere with what goes on inside of this church. We have gone to Matthew 16:18 several times in the scriptures. Jesus turns to Peter and says, "Thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my," what? Now that's church of one of a kind. But also what Christ started was a church. He didn't start a denomination. He didn't start an association. His idea of the church, the concept of the church birthed during Christ's ministry, that concept of the church was meant to be nothing else but a local, visible assembly of blood-washed, water-baptized, Bible-believing people who assembled for the purpose of propagating the gospel, preaching the word of God, and encouraging the brethren. That's all he intended. Nothing more, nothing less. When he said church, that's all he meant. Church. Not bishops. Not hierarchy. Not leaderships. No popes. No vice presidents. No presidents. No in-and-out baskets. No Baptist buildings. No business of the church. Nothing like that. Independent. How that this church stands as an independent, autonomous body in Bourbonnais, Illinois. With the brother Wilkinson's in Rantoul. I used to go to Rantoul, the Chanute Air Force Base. Is it still there? Closed in 1993. I used to have the world's furthest bus route. No one's ever touched it. I don't think they ever will. 120 miles one way. Used to go down to Rantoul Air Force Base. I was in the Air Force when I was in the military because my IQ was too high to be in another branch of the military. And so that's right, bro. Can't handle the truth. That's too bad, pal. This service is over for you right now. Fighting branch of the military. Okay, that's pushing it. All right, but used to go down to Rantoul and go to the Air Force base and pick up Air Force guys there. They had Marines and Army guys on the base, too, and take them back up to Hammond for church. and things like that. You know, that then his church is the intimate, independent, autonomous body for that. This brother from Chicago is an independent, autonomous body in the city of Chicago, Illinois. Each church was meant to be an independent body that stood upon its own. Its right of existence would come because of and by the direct hand and blessing of God. That's all we need. That's all we want. Southern Baptist Church in my town, the pastor decided to take that church out of, leave it in the Southern Baptist Convention, but take it into the charismatic movement. Wrong. Should never have done that. Correct? But the Southern Baptist Convention came in, took the church away from the people because they voted to go with what the pastor said. But it was their building, the convention's buildings, not the people's buildings. And they took the church away from the people, kicked them out, and gave their buildings to another Southern Baptist group in town. No one's taking Faith Baptist Church buildings away from you. You know why? Because people of Faith Baptist Church built the buildings. You paid for that. You took the time to do so. They're your buildings under the authority of Jesus Christ. See, you want that kind of independency. You want that. With the church building we had prior to the buildings we just built, that church building was owned by a small group of Baptist people that was in a conference. That was headquarters in the Bay Area. When we wanted to buy their buildings from them, there's a small group, they're about to fold up, just turn over the buildings and just walk away. They offered them to us at an incredible price, incredibly low price. But they didn't want to make any money off the deal because they were disbanding. They just wanted to sell it for what they owed and a small loan they had made amongst themselves to try to help the pastor make it for a year. So buildings that were worth $500,000, they were going to sell them to us for $85,000. And the pastor said, would you be willing to buy them? Yes, we would be willing to buy those buildings. We were a church without a building, without buildings and needed room, and they were a church with buildings that didn't had no people in them. So it was a great deal. We agreed to buy it from that church group. The church agreed to the sale. We drew up a contract for it. And immediately their conference sued them, sued the pastor, sued me, and sued our church. And said, no. We have funded these people all these years. We want our money back too. And they wanted $450,000 out of this. I said, you guys do whatever you're supposed to do, but I don't appreciate being sued. Then I had to go sit in the room with these bunch of Jehus while they tried to explain to me what they were doing, and that biblically they had a right to sue us and sue our church. Now listen to me, that's what's become of denominationalism in America today among Baptist people. That's why you want to be an independent Baptist church. You want to be an independent Baptist church. Number two is the word fundamental. There's no word fundamental in the Bible anywhere. Fundamental is a philosophical approach to following Bible principles, however. Let me demonstrate for you. Pastor, could I use you just for a second? Would you stand right here? Let me use you, brother. Brother Peter, would you use you next? Come stand right here, would you please? Come on, son, wake up. There we go. Stand right over here. Stand next to the preacher. Matt, you stand right here, buddy. Good. Brother Johnson, you come stand right here. Great. Let me see. I need one gentleman. Brother, could I use you? Because I like that mustache. You bring that thing over here. That's great. Did it stay up last night in the rain?
I got an 8-hour trip to O'Hare and back.
And it stayed up?
Yeah.
Brother, you got that dew-wax good. All right, we're doing fine. 2, 4, 5. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 2, please. 2 Timothy 2 and verse number 2. Whose NIV is this? Notice what it says. And the things, and I want you to follow this carefully. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. There are 5 generations of faith in that one verse. Here is the Apostle Paul. He is speaking to young Timothy. 1 generation, 2 generations. Paul to Timothy says, Timothy, the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses. And then he points back to the people that preceded Paul, the witnesses of the Old Testament, the witnesses of the Word of God that preceded the Apostle Paul. Now you have 3 generations of faith. Paul to Timothy, speaking of the witnesses. Then he says, Timothy, the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, he said, the same, commit thou to faithful men, generation number 4, who shall be able to teach others also, generation number 5. Now you've got 5 generations of faith right here.
That's right.
Now what's the important thing in all of this? 2 words, the same. He didn't say, Paul didn't tell Timothy, now Timothy, when it gets to 2007, you find a divine paradigm for your new millennium. and your new year, and how you can polish and sharpen this thing up, make it look better for everybody else, palatable in everyone else's sight, Timothy. You go out and test the market. Check the wind of this thing. See what people want. Go out there and get a marketing church philosophy. Timothy, here's what you do, Timothy. You go out and you don't take the same I gave you because the same's no good anymore. And what those guys had over there, obviously that wouldn't fit with the divine paradigm for the new millennium. Timothy, you don't take the same. You take something and you make it better, Timothy. And he didn't tell him that. Timothy, he said, what you received of me among many witnesses, you take the same.
Amen. That's right.
The same. Right next to those two words, same right, fundamental, because that's exactly what it is. Fundamental takes the basics of the same that we receive from the Word of God and pass it on to the Timothys, who are then to pass it on to... Look here, folks, we're talking five generations of faith. Hundreds of years of faith. And all it takes is one knucklehead. Aren't you glad you're in that one again? All it takes is one knucklehead to take and do it his way. And what does he do? Look here. He disgraces all that came before him, and he's messing up the next generation. Now you have to understand, these forefathers of ours we talked about in that first lesson, who shed their blood over communion and baptism by immersion, would look at us tonight, even in a good independent fundamental Baptist church, being good independent fundamental Baptist people, and laugh at us. They say, what? What are they complaining about? Padded pews? Lights that work most of the time? What's the deal? Anybody dragging you out of your house? Tying you to a stake and setting you on fire? Taking the intestines of your children out in front of you? Hacking off your tongues, poking out your eyes? Do you know in the first and second century church, if you missed a church service, and you were dead, or so banged up that you couldn't be drugged down to the church, they churched you the next Sunday. They voted you out. Try that one. We couldn't even get to preaching on Sundays.
Well, we're voting out 58 people this morning. The Bears were on at 11 o'clock last week, and come think of it, I wasn't there myself. But we'd be voting people out every Sunday.
They must look down from heaven and say, what are they fussing about? See, fundamental means the same. Because, thank you, Peter. Because, I got you, Matthew, you're all right. What's your name? Matt, he's not even sure anymore now. After 2 days, poor guy's going into counseling next week. He's on a patch and everything else. The truth is, what's happened is, you see, if he doesn't take the same, like he got it, and he doesn't take the same and give it, he's messing with a whole lot of people. This thing about, you know, okay, so you're a Baptist. Excuse me. I hate to use the expression if the Lord tarries, because the Lord's not tarrying. He's not in heaven going, now. It's on time frame. He's coming exactly when he's supposed to come. But if Jesus doesn't come for 100 years, what about this guy over here? If these Pauls don't give to these Timothys the same, and these Timothys don't take the same and give it to these guys so they could take the same and give it to these guys, we're messing with the whole generation of faith. And those dear people up in heaven who poured out their lifeblood for what we believe, what about those dear folks?
That's right.
See, fundamental means the same. Thank you, fellas. Fundamental. Who's that? Whose Bible is this?
Richard Simmons' version. What is that? All right, here we go.
What? We're messing with future generations of people. Fundamental means we stay with the basics. Now look at me. It's not that we are old-fashioned. There's nothing wrong with that. It's not that we're old-fashioned. Look here. We're eternal. The principles of the Word of God are not bound by time and era and dispensation. Are there some things that are dispensationally understood in the Word of God? Of course. But not as to our faith and practice. See, look here. So being fundamental means we stay with the basics. Because look here, we got the same, and we're going to pass it on the same.
Amen.
And if you don't do that, you're a robber, you're a thief, you're a liar, you're a compromiser, and you're a coward. And they had none of that in that preacher right there. And I don't know these other preachers, but I believe it would be the same set of them tonight. And I believe many of you tonight, same thing for you. But see, that's why we are fundamental. We just stay with the same. What got us here is good enough to get us home. The grace that brought us safely thus far will safely lead us home.
You can't, look, can you imagine someone trying to improve on the Word of God? Well, that was okay for Paul in the sandals days, but nowadays, here it is. Oh, really? Anybody lately been accused of turning the world upside down? They did. See, we've got to have, the same is the fundamental thing. Please don't look at me now, and I know you don't do this, but let me help you with future thought might come down the road for you somewhere. Please don't put pressure on your preacher to change things. And the longer that a pastor's in a church, the more he gets hammered about changing things. Well, preacher, if you could just back off a little bit. I worked 6 months to get my aunt here, and you're up there killing the Pope. And preacher, could you just slow things? Could you just step back a little bit? We don't have to be so confrontational in your face. Slap your mama with the preaching. Couldn't we just back it off a little bit? No, you want the same? Hey, look, listen to me. When they asked the people who were around Jesus, what was Jesus like? They said he was like Joel Osteen. He was like Rick Warren. He was like Bill Hybels. They said he was like John the Baptist. Let me see John the Baptist. Blowing out of the desert. Camel hair suit that probably didn't match. Most likely had white socks. Eating locusts, drinking wild honey, and preaching repentance. Telling everybody to get right with God because their trouble's coming. They said Jesus was like that. That's better than that hippie crank freak Jesus people are coming up with nowadays. They said he's like that. They said he's like one of the prophets. Yeah, like Jeremiah, the weeping prophet. He's like one of the mighty men of God of the past. That's what Jesus was like. That was his preaching ministry. Now that's what we got. That's the same. See, fundamental, that comes down like we got it. We just want to take what we received and pass it on the same. Independent, fundamental. And then the word Baptist, obviously we've already covered that. That means biblical authority. That means local, visible assembly, blood washed, water baptized, Bible believing people. Why be an independent fundamental Baptist? Now we define what an independent fundamental Baptist is. Can I give you the characteristics of an independent fundamental Baptist? You know, it used to be that we could say that a fundamentalist was six things. And they all had to do with the person of Christ. Virgin birth, vicarious death, deity of Christ, sinless life, bodily resurrection, second coming. That used to make you a fundamentalist, those six things about Christ. Frankly, you could throw one more in there, had nothing to do with Christ but all about Him, and that is the Word of God, the inspired, infallible, and errant Word of God. Now, that used to make you a fundamentalist, but see, a lot of evangelicals and most neo-evangelicals believe that, and we are neither of those. So today it's not those six characteristics that make you a fundamentalist. Today it's three simple things, and here they are. Number one, soul winning. Soul winning. Now listen now. Not the paper soul winning, where you have the position of soul winning without the practice. People of Faith Baptist Church, you better listen to me. Don't go to a soul winning church. Be a soul winner in a soul winning church. Otherwise we become paper tigers. We become churches that used to be soul winning churches, and now a handful do all the soul winning. Everybody else just sits around going, yeah, I believe in soul winning, and never go. Just working. All right, just checking. We got soul winning, aggressive, house to house, door to door, bus ministry, missions minded. Go get them wherever they are and bring them to wherever we are, soul winning. Now that's just simply based on the Great Commission of Jesus Christ. And the first words, go, not come. The first words, go, not send. The first words, go, not ask. The first words, go, not draw. The first words, go, and go get them. Wherever they are, you go get them. Whatever it takes to get them. If they're behind bars, you go get them. They're in nursing homes, you go get them. They're in rescue mission, you go get them. They're house to house, you go get them. Wherever they are, you go get them. They can't come to you, you go get them. And they bring them to you, you go get them. That's the aggressiveness about soul winning. This church is soul winning, soul winning, soul winning, soul winning, soul winning all the time. How come there are no ministries for me? Come on, almost inevitably a month doesn't go by in my church where somebody comes to me and says, have you got a ministry for 5'2" red-headed buck teeth people? And they're 5'2" red-headed, got buck teeth. I've got to have one. It's not just that you have a adult Sunday school class. You've got to have a single adult Sunday school class between 37 and 39 with a triple figure income. I mean, it's got to have something that you got to design something for them.
And if you don't massage their ego and entertain them, then they'll go find somebody who will want to entertain. We're not here to entertain Christians. We're here to encourage Christians. But our main job is to reach souls for Jesus Christ. And let me just say this. And fulfill the Great Commission. Go teach, baptize, teach. So winning's not only part of the Great Commission. You go get them, you win them, you wet them, and then you work them. You teach them what the Word of God says. You do all four parts or you're not a soul-winning church. Thank you. An independent fundamental Baptist church is identified by their soul winning. You better just keep adding those missionaries out there in that hallway. We go Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and uttermost part of this earth. We keep adding missionaries as we go. We keep adding buses as we go. And we're not ashamed of our bus folks either. We're not going to hide them somewhere in the back because we don't want anything to do with them. We don't let them in our choirs because they're bus people and they don't look like the Beamer crowd that show. And the Beamer crowd should be up there too. But everybody up there, every fundamental Baptist church ought to have bikers and bankers.
Amen.
That's right. Mission men and business men. Everybody ought to be welcome in that church, see somebody like them in their church, and find their same people in that church. All strategies. We're not targeting anybody. That's not a soul-winning church. Soul-winning. Number two is the word scriptures. That's the King James Bible. See, the position of the King James Bible takes it one more step biblically from the inspiration, the inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God, which all who believe the Bible believe the Word of God is inspired, is infallible, and is inerrant. Takes it one more step, and that's the preservation of the Word of God. That God who gave us that inspired, infallible, inerrant Word has now preserved it for us in this generation in the English language in the King James Bible. You don't see your preacher stand up in this pulpit, nor will any preacher ever stand in this pulpit for very long, and correct the Word of God. We don't correct the Word of God. We declare the Word of God. This is what the Bible says. This is how it goes. We present that. And that King James position, I know it alienates us from the theological community, which is good. That's a community you want to be alienated from. Those are people sitting around wasting the hours and recording the minutes that have no justification for their existence except the criticism. We just need the Word of God. You want to go to a church where you actually believe when you leave a service that you have what God said in your hand. And not sit there and open the Bible and go, yeah, but I wonder if that's what it really says. Hey, you know what? If that's what it says, that's what it says. The King James position is God did not inspire a document. God inspired His Word. It doesn't make a difference what the manuscripts were and what the documents were. The manuscript evidence of a King James Bible holds up under any examination of honest theological concern and question. Holds up sound and true. The text is receptive, is the received text that God has used to preserve His Word and separated it from all other corrupt manuscripts and kept it pure and clean and right. And it's still that way to this very day. But that's still not where our confidence is. Confidence is not in the text. Confidence is in God's Word. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. The King James Bible. Number three position that makes us an independent fundamental Baptist. Soul winning. The Scriptures. Number three is separation. Separation. Three areas of separation. Personal, ecclesiastical, and secondary. Personal separation simply means you live a life separate from the world in which you live. In the world, not of the world. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Thank God, look at me. Thank God for a preacher who is specific on the areas of preaching separation in this church. I don't care what church you're in. I've emptied my church out four times in 24 years preaching soul winning separation and a King James Bible. And I didn't want to do that. But there are a lot of people, quote unquote, Christian folks who come in and they'll like all the other stuff about it. They like the spirit of the services. They like the direct preaching of the services. But brother, you start nailing stuff they're doing they're not supposed to do anymore or some things they ought to do they're not doing in their life. Boom! They're on down the road to the aim at nothing and hit it every Sunday church. But God has called us to be separate in this world. Come out from among them and be a separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. And may I say this quickly tonight? The reason for separation in our lives is not so we can say, well, I'm a whole lot better than you, pal. The reason for separation is in that same passage. Come out from among them, be a separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you.
See this preacher right here? See that man? He loves you and wants you to be so close to the Lord in your life. He's willing to risk your disapproval for what he preaches to help you to get separated in your life so you can get closer to God. Look at you, like an old hippie from the 60s from California. First time I walked in an independent fundamental Baptist church, I thought that preacher had rabies. I thought he needed a shot of some kind or a B shot. Now I am one. But I was, and I did what, you know, no other Christian ever did this before, so let me break a little ground for you. Every time I heard a preacher get something, I think, I have to give that up now? I can't do that. Finally, I got to the place where I went to church to see what else he's going to try and take from me. I thought, you know, after a couple months, these guys run out of stuff by now. Oh, he never did. Well, I'm sitting there, I had long hair. It was the 70s. I had long hair. And he's up there preaching, "Ye stinking," and he wasn't very nice like me. "Ye stinking hippies in your long hair. Ye sissies, you." And he's I'm the only guy in the room with long hair. Now, I'm a California boy, born and raised in California. And so here we go. Right here, just got the long hair. I went, "Woo, check it out, Ray." Right here, went, "Woo." And I just flipped that hair back like that. "Just bring it on, pal." "Woo, check me out, pal." Right there. I said, "Now, he can't prove that one by the Bible." Turn to 1 Corinthians 11:14. He said, "Does not even nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it is a shame unto him?" I said, "Oh, no. That's in the Bible." Hey, look at me. It wasn't about how long is long. Nature teaches. Look at me. See this? God made the way of nature. The way of nature. Man has a natural hairline. For sometimes some folks, God's moving that hairline as time goes along. But God gave you a natural hairline. That's not supposed to exceed that hairline. 1 Corinthians 11 says your head's not supposed to be covered, fellas. And these things right here, watch that. See that, Batman? These things are on your head. So are these eyeballs right here. You're not supposed to cover that either. The principle's in the Word of God. It'll hold up all right. But that wasn't the issue. The issue was, how close do I want to get to God? The truth is, if we could prove to you tonight that you had to shave your head, sell books and wear orange pajamas and play tambourines at the airport, if we could prove that to you in the Bible, and it was biblical, you ought to want to do that, because if that made you closer to Jesus, that's right. Now, it isn't in there, so don't panic. But that's personal separation. Look here. When I got it from me, this old hippie from the 60s, when I saw that whatever it was, if the Bible wanted me to get it out of my life, it helped me to be closer to God, I said, that's good. So there's no more of that. Well, what's wrong with this? What's wrong with that? Ever had anybody walk up to your preacher and say, what's right with something? What's right with the music around here? What's right about that? Oh, they always want to know what's wrong with it. So they know how close to get the wrong and still be right. That's not how we operate. Personal separation, ecclesiastical separation. There are people, I know there are saved people in other groups and other denominational things. I know there are saved people out there. I know these people. And if anybody that saves a brother or sister in Christ, that's blood of salvation makes his brothers and sisters. No question about that. When Jesus had his disciples come to him and say, "Lord, there's some guys over here talking about using your name when they preach. We told them to knock it off." What did Jesus say? "Kumbaya." Got his guitar out, started singing "Kumbaya." Had a big Baptist marshmallow roll. So got them all together and sang "Kumbaya." What did he tell them? He said, "Leave them alone." But did he tell them, "Go join up with them"? No, he didn't. He said, "Leave them alone." They quit asking me to go to those Easter sunrise pancake breakfasts. They just quit asking me. I didn't get on my desk, start pounding them over the head with my Bible and say, "Get away from me, you reprobate." I just said, "No, thank you." After a while, they just quit calling. You do the work of God in an equal yoke with those of like faith and practice. That's what ecclesiastical separation is. So we can't just throw out the promise keepers thing and throw out the doctrine thing and throw out one big umbrella and bring everybody together on one big swooping thing that somehow sounds good. You read 1st, 2nd Timothy, the book of Titus. Let it show you in that book how many times the word doctrine is emphasized to Timothy and to Titus, and to adhere to that doctrine and take heed unto thyself and to the doctrine, the Bible says. For in so doing, thou shalt save thyself and them that hear thee. Doctrinal purity is a good thing. Third step of separation is secondary separation. That simply means I separate myself from a brother who walks disorderly. So how far do you take secondary separation? You don't walk with a brother who walks disorderly.
this book of Thessalonians, I'm sorry, but if they walk contrary to the things that are taught in the Word of God, I don't hate them. I don't write a newspaper, put their name in it. I just walk separate of them. I just say, I'm sorry, but I can't do that. And in stepping back, you're helping the brother or sister to understand what they're doing is not right. Now, that secondary separation, that's a helpful thing for them. Now, again, you have to do with the right kind of spirit. You have to do with an attitude of, I'm not better than you and you stink and I'm the only one that's righteous. It has to be a good attitude and right thing. You're supposed to consider thyself also, lest thou also be tempted, the Bible says. Ye which are spiritual, the Bible says, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself also, lest thou also be tempted. You have to step back. You don't step over. You don't step down. You don't step sideways. You don't step to their level. You step back and say, brother, I'm sorry, but I just can't do that with you right now. And we can't do that. You have to separate from them to help them see things are not right. It's very simple. You just tell them, you want to get together in fellowship? Meet me at church on Sunday. I don't go to that church anymore. That preacher over there and all the stuff he's... I can't go along with that. Well, I happen to love my church and my preacher, and you want to meet me, I'll save you a spot in a pew on Sunday. Come join me. Then they come sit with you in church. Secondary separation. Look, those things identify who we are as independent fundamental Baptists. Soul winning, the scriptures, separation. Now, why be an independent fundamental Baptist? Because of a day of change. You're in 2 Timothy. Turn over just two pages, if you would, to chapter 4 and verse 1. Because of a day of change. 2 Timothy 4 and verse 1. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word. Please notice the preach the word statement. Here's what it means. Preach all of it. Every bit of it. If a hair lifts every dog in your county, preach everything in the book, all of it. Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Verse 3, for the time will come. Well, before you read the next statement of that, please look at me. That time he spoke of, Paul's writings to Timothy, that time he spoke of then is now. Why? Look at it. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lusts, what they want, shall heap to themselves, not preachers, teachers, having the itching ears. Both have itching ears. The teacher type wants to hear and will say, well, Dr. Reverend Wigglelips, that was a tremendous parse of that Greek verb. The teacher says, well, thank you. In all humility, I appreciate the glory and give all the glory to God and take all the credit. And then he finds out they have ears that want to be itched. Oh, no, get up and have a play where Jesus is a shoeshine boy. Jesus ain't a shoeshine boy. Last time I checked, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords ain't a shoeshine boy. Have a play where people sit around and they go, now, that shoeshine boy, that was how much Jesus cares about you. Okay, well, let's all go home today. And people out there going, wow, nobody messes with you over there. And that lady told me, she said, I quit going to your church. And since I quit going, I feel better. And I feel better about myself. And I feel better about my life. And I'm glad I quit going to your church. I said, amen. Now, having the itching ears, verse 4, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth. That comes out of that sound doctrine stuff. Shall be turned unto, folks, that's Mickey Mouse science fiction stuff. You ever scratch your head sometimes and wonder, how do they believe that? You've got to be kidding me. The largest church in my town has they do the Toronto blessing. Everybody runs around, barks like dogs and clucks like chickens. They wave flags. Seriously, it's a stinking dog and pony show. And I'm thinking to myself, wow. And there's like 3,500 people in this church. And you can't build buildings fast enough to get them all in there. And it's not about teaching and preaching the Word of God. It's about, you know, rocking and rolling for Jesus. They had a group of Native Americans, my people, come in there and bang on the drums 4 hours. 4 hours. And then had 2 hours of worship. This is a Sunday night service. Aren't you glad you don't go to that church? Sunday night service. Then 2 hours of worship music and a 20-minute message and concluded somewhere around midnight and said they had revival. Well, they had revival, all right. Brought up the spirit of all them old animists and everybody else that's out there. My people, bless their heart, man. You ever notice they always name each other after you know, a running deer and standing doe. And it's never, you know, cow pie. It's always some name after something like the rock. It's always some name after something eloquent. They're banging on drums and chanting like a bunch of heathens. And you got that in your church. What? That's fables. You understand? That time that would come, that time's now. Now look at me tonight. And that time, my friend, is a time of change. And God's people, in an independent fundamental Baptist church, you think we're locked into time. We are stuck on the truth. An independent fundamental Baptist church stays the same. I'll tell you what I like to see. I like to see folks who every now and then folks will get their nose out of joint with us and leave. They'll go out, you know, do the fishing thing for a while, play a little old country buffet. Ooh, doesn't that sound good? Just go out Coyote Canyon, amen. Just go out and pick a little here and pick a little there and try a little church, try a little church. And after a while they come back and they go, I'm sorry, preacher. I didn't know you were telling the truth. Well, if I ever start lying, I'll let you know, man. What do you mean I'm telling the truth? Well, of course I'm telling the truth. See, we couldn't believe what's going on out there. And here's what they say, and this just blesses my heart. They say, and I'm glad to know, preacher, when we come back here, everything's still the same. Nothing changed. More people, just still the same stuff, though. See, because we need to be independent fundamental Baptists because of a day of change. Independent fundamental Baptists stay the same. We need to be independent fundamental Baptists because of a day of compromise. Preachers and churches are selling out. Selling out to the marketing philosophy of Bill Hybels and Rick Warren. Ministries are becoming more psychological than biblical. Church in our town got rid of their preacher, called a guy in who was a psychiatrist. This is a Bible church. So-called Bible-believing church. The guy is a psychologist. And he gets up there and he gives them counseling stuff every weekend. And they love it. Because he helps them to deal with the interpersonal difficulties of their interpersonal relationships. Now, look at me. Have you rated the Bible in that place in terms of gasoline? It couldn't drive an inch go-kart around the inside of a Cheerio one time. You don't want Dr. Phil in the pulpit. You want a preacher in the pulpit. Compromise. But we got to have that because what we talked about the other night. Something happens in America, what happens to people? They call a psychiatrist down there to help somebody. Instead of calling a man of God down there to pray with them and encourage them and help them in their lives. Because we think, oh man, Bible colleges today are dying, absolutely dying on the vine because they can't get preachers out of their Bible college, but they got people who want to go to become counselors. Wasn't counseling a good thing, Pastor Johnson? Excellent thing. Go to Sunday morning, Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. You get all kinds of counseling there. Amazing how Lee Robertson was so smart. People come to his office, they preach and need some counseling with you. He said, okay, before I ask you a question, before we have our counseling session, have you been reading your Bible and praying? No. He said, go home and do that for 2 weeks, come back, we'll talk about it. I believe it was 80-some percent never came back. Because once they started reading their Bible and praying, it fixed all kinds of stuff. How did my grandmother ever get by without Oprah? How did she make it? 90-some years old. How did my grandmother get by without these people? Seriously. Just her Bible. Trust in God. Independent fundamental Baptists, my friends, stay the same and they stay true in a day of compromise. Why do you want to be an independent fundamental Baptist? Because of a day of carnality. This morality issue in churches has become a plague. Our church is 24 years old now, just over 24 years old. Probably 15 to 17 years we went before we ever had anybody in our church who was a member who ever committed immorality. Last 4 or 5 years. Unfortunately, I could probably name 5 or 6. So that's a lot better than what's going on in the world. It better be. It better be better than what's going on in the world. We live in a carnal and fleshly day today. And what we need to do is go to church and have carnal, fleshly music that stirs up the emotions, gets people carnally minded, and call it worship. Then the music that's coming into our churches today, even independent fundamental Baptist churches, you go to some of these places and you preach, you sit there and you go, oops. I visited an independent fundamental Baptist church in New Mexico. And the guy wanted me to show, I was just visiting the service. I wasn't preaching there. But the family thing there. And the guy said, let me show you our auditorium. I walk around the auditorium. He had, they had a trap set, drum trap set. They had amplifiers, microphones. They had a whole thing up there. And I said, what kind of Baptist church was this? He goes, brother, independent fundamental. I went, okay. Somebody missed the boat. I don't know who it was, but it wasn't me. Because of a day of carnality and morals, a day of carnality in our messages. Independent Fundamental Baptist Church stays pure. Now listen to me, not better than somebody else, but pure. You need, listen to me, you need two places you can go in your life where you have a refuge. Number one's your home. You need to go have a place where you have a refuge and you can shut out this world. And push it outside the doors of your house and just tell the world, leave you alone. You need that. And you need your church to be like that. Where you come to a church and the Spirit is a holy Spirit. Last time I checked it, He's still Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. Independent Fundamental Baptist Church will never be the most popular church in town. We'll be the old Baptist church. Oh, you go to that church? Oh. We'll be a little nutty. They'll think we're a little goofy. They'll think we're kind of locked in a certain era and period of time. Yeah, it's called eternity. Try locking you in that one. And they'll always wonder, what are you going to church like that for? I mean, it's hot outside. Everybody's running around with their clothes on. What kind of church is that? That music, I mean, they sing the hymns. Do you know how boring the hymns are? You know, they're boring in a lot of churches. Not here. Well, you got some great musicians over here. They're tearing them things up. Banging them 88s, Jack. I mean, flying across that thing. It was good stuff. I was enjoying that. Our church, I believe, has the best church pianist in America. She's fantastic. This lady here playing the piano plays a lot like she does. That's good. If you sing the hymns right, they are a blessing. They are a blessing. They are. Hey, you know what? They actually, they teach and instruct like Colossians says we're supposed to do. They're still good. I've got tired of Amazing Grace. Grace is still amazing to me, so I'm not tired of it. So it's still good stuff. Is it not true? So in a day of carnality, we don't have to go, Lord, we praise you. Lord, we praise you. Lord, we praise you, Lord. Verse 2, Lord, we praise you. Lord, we praise you. Lord, we praise you, Lord. Verse 3, Lord, we praise you. Lord, we praise. We don't have to do that. You know, get your hands up in the air. It's hot and sweaty outside. Some people don't use deodorant. We don't need that. I understand, dear people. I understand that in a day and age where it's easier. My generation now has become the leaders in this country and the directors in this country and the authority in this country in so many different areas. And my old hippie generation has infested and infected this nation with a propensity to carnality. We can't go that route. Well, that gets people to come to church. I tell you what, I like to see you use that one to start a church in San Francisco. Paul didn't say I became all things, all men, and he went out acting like drunks to reach drunks, junkies to reach junkies, or a whoremonger to reach whores, or an immoral person to reach whoremongers. He didn't act like that. We have to be suffered and call them up to the place they're supposed to be. Where God gave us the grace to cut up out of that miry clay and set our feet upon a rock and establish our going and put a new song in our mouth. Not an old carnal song, a new song. See, that's why we want to be an independent fundamental Baptist. You may never be the biggest church in California. All right, I apologize for that. You may never be the biggest church in this city. You may never be the biggest church in the state of Illinois. You may never be the mega church of America. The last time I checked it, when we stand in front of our Savior and we look Him in the face, I believe it's well done, thou good and faithful servant. That's the reward of a child of God. He says you did right. Good is not just good, it's right. It's good. It's proper. It's appropriate. He says, you did the right thing, faithful servant. That's what we're living for. We want to look Him in the face and have Jesus say, you did good now. You did the right thing. Here's heaven. Enter into the joy of your Lord. And we don't even enter there because we're good. We enter there because He saved us. All we ought to do is just say, okay, Lord, what do you want me to do? What do you want from me? See, when this old hippie right here walked into an independent fundamental Baptist church in 1974, I had never seen a church like that in my life. I grew up as a Southern Baptist as a kid for a while. Got saved in an American Baptist church. I didn't know what that was. I thought Baptist was Baptist. After a few Sundays in there, I thought, I think these guys are a little different. Another Sunday went by, I go, yep, they are most definitely different than where I come from. Now, please listen. But I had made a decision in rededicating my life to Jesus Christ in August of 1975 that I would do whatever the Bible said I was supposed to do. I didn't know enough about the Bible. As the old preachers used to say, to blow the fuzz off a peanut, I didn't know much about the Bible. But I made a decision I was going to follow the Word of God and just do what the Bible said. And if someone could prove to me from the Bible what they believed, I'd believe it. 1975. 32 years later, the only bunch that can do that is the Independent Fundamental Baptist Group. It's the only ones that have been able to do that. They made their case by God's Word. They based their beliefs upon the biblical authority. They had their practices based on the Word of God. They follow what the Word of God says. And weeding my way to the conventionalism and associationalism of the Baptist movement, I came to an Independent Fundamental Baptist church. And an old liberal-minded hippie from the 60s raised in California said, that's what I've been looking for. Right there. That's what I've been looking for. And for 32 years, never perfectly, but always with the intent to follow what the Word of God says, I'm an Independent Fundamental Baptist. I'm not looking for anything new. I'm not looking for anything better. Since what we believe is eternal, you can't improve on what's eternal. You can't make better what God created and instituted. Can't make that better. God did it right when He made it. He hath done all things well. Let's bow our heads for prayer, please. I hope that somewhere in these meetings, we have come to that place where we understand and have waded our way through the confusion of religions and religiosity to understand that Jesus Christ started the church during His earthly ministry. That church became known as a Baptist church, was called Baptist. That church has always been a group of people who followed the authority of the Word of God with Christ as the head of that church and the sole head of the church. For centuries, though bloodied, tortured, beaten, slaughtered like animals, to the tune of near 70 million of them, our Heavenly Father, who guaranteed to preserve His child, His Word, has also preserved His church. And yes, it is a Baptist church. A church that follows the authority of God's Word. Local, visible assembly of, again, blood-washed, water-baptized, Bible-believing people. But now, in this day and age in which we live, I believe the Heavenly Father has designed for us the idea of an independent, fundamental Baptist church. Which, frankly, is what Christ started to begin with. Independent Fundamental Baptist movement may not be able to point back further than the 20s or 30s in America, but I'll tell you this. Frankly, I think you can go back to Spurgeon in the middle 1800s. All it was men who got caught up in denominationalism returning to biblical roots. That's all it was. And that's all we are tonight. Just sticking with the Word of God. Just staying with the Bible. It's what you need for your life. It's what you need for your family. It's what you need for your home. It's what you need for your marriage. It's what you need for your day-to-day life. It's what you must have in your church. Let's just continue as Independent Fundamental Baptists. Let the winds of change and compromise and carnality blow like that storm last night. But let's stay loyal and faithful to the truth of God's Word. Some of us tonight need to just go ahead and get in the boat. I do not know. You're here on a Friday night. I would assume that this is the backbone and body of this church. And maybe some are here tonight and you're still shopping around, playing the buffet business with churches. Time to settle in and settle up. If Jesus loved the church, not churches, the church, and gave himself for it, don't you think you ought to get in alignment with his love for the church? I mean, become a member, be involved, get in, participate with your time, your tithe, and your talent. If you're in, stay in. There may be things you don't like, but I guarantee you the truth is here. May not be perfectly presented, but the truth is always the truth. We can do nothing against the truth, but for the truth. Our responsibility is to line up with the Word of God. Faith Baptist Church, Bourbonnais, Illinois, is an independent fundamental Baptist church. It's the right place to be. It's where we need to stay. Sink our roots so deep they couldn't pull us out if they had to, and the only reason you'd leave this church is because it went doctrinally bad. Let us be what God intended us to be tonight. Thank you again for your careful attention. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. I turn it over to Pastor.
All right, look this way just for a minute, if you would. Aren't you glad Brother Johnson came our way? Well, that's a blessing, man. I'll tell you, just tremendous. But, you know, it's been enjoyable. But it's not enough just to be glad. And he came and enjoyed the messages. And this is one of the characteristics of an independent fundamental Baptist ministry. You know, we try to bring people to a point of decision. And I think we're here tonight. I think we're at that point. And here's what I would like to see our church do. I'd like to see whoever will just commit until God comes for us or until we leave by way of the grave. We just commit to being what we are. I'm talking about you older folks, the elderly people in the church. Let's commit to being and recommit. Many of you have done it now for 30, 40 years, but you know, it's not important how you start. It's important how you finish. Middle-aged couples. One of the most dangerous ages in life because your children start changing you. Your children change you. Your teenagers change you. They don't want to go like you want them to go, so you start adjusting what you believe by what will make your teenagers happy. Dangerous. I'm asking middle-aged couples to recommit tonight. Let's just stay the same. You young couples, got those little babies in the nursery you had to pull out here last night. You got those little second graders. It's all fine and dandy to have them in line right now. We want them in line 14, 15, 18. We want them committed to the same. You young people, college age, most of our college age young people are gone now, but some of you here, teenagers, committed. You boys and girls, committed to what your mom and dad teaching you about being a Baptist, about being an independent fundamental, not being proud, but not being ashamed either in a day of compromise. This is a point of decision tonight. I'm asking you to commit. Let's just be the same. You've heard, over the past 6 months, you've heard me emphasize some of the things he's been talking about. You've heard me from this pulpit struggle in emphasizing we can't change. We can't change. He and I were talking about the other day, the older preachers get, the more mellow they become. That's the tendency. The older you get, the softer you get. I don't want to get that way. I never want to be ugly. I never want to run anybody away because of my disposition. But I don't mind if people leave because of my position. And you know what helps a preacher do that? Just a church that's committed to the same position. Amen? So that's what I'm asking you to do tonight, church, at this invitation. Let's stand. Our heads are bowed. Eyes are closed. If you'll commit with me, let's just stay the same. Let's use the altar as the ladies play. You come. Older, younger, middle-aged couples, elderly couples, those that have been with it for years and years and years. Those that are new to it, would you step out tonight? Would you still here for a minute at the altar? Let's just not change. Stay the same. Before you leave to go to your seat, I'd like to have prayer with you. Just stay on your knees.
place just for a minute. My dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for what our hearts have felt, what the divine impressions and influences of the Holy Spirit have been upon my heart in these days. Lord, it's never been about being the biggest here. It's never been about the number of people attending. It's been about let's be right. I'm sure, Lord, there are so many ways which we could improve, so many ways we could do better. We have not apprehended. We've not arrived. But God, we're still carrying the same book, the book that you promised to keep. Same type church we think you promised to keep. We still worship and love the same Savior. Help us to finish strong. And Jesus, if you stay in heaven for several years, I pray that you'll send a man take my place someday. He'll just keep on the same. And keep filling up these pews with young couples and teenagers who are committed to the same. The same, oh God. Help us, please. Thank you for Brother Johnson. Give him a safe journey home with his dear wife. Great services on Sunday. Bless his ministry and family. Thank you, Lord, for him being here. Bless these dear people on their knees tonight. Make a solemn commitment to you to stay with the same. In Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Return to your seat if you'd like to, or continue to pray as you play.